The following is intended for mature audiences only. Discretion is advised.
So welcome to New Orleans. Thank you so much for downloading this episode of So What Do You Really Do? A podcast where I, your host, Dieter Dansmeyer, talk to artists and entertainers about their day jobs. And the artist and entertainer day job that we're talking about is returning guest Chris True, a comedian in New Orleans. What's going on, Chris?
I am cold, I'm happy, and I'm grateful to be here.
Awesome. So we'll get to why you're cold in just a minute. Let's just talk about it now, because there's a foot of snow in New Orleans for the first time ever right now.
Yeah, it is remarkable. I know everyone who lives in the Northeast could not care less. Let me tell you something. This would be like a Mardi Gras parade, just erupting in your city. You know, we're not used to this. This is wild. I'm a Southern boy. I have crawfish boil for blood. I am not used to this. So it is fascinating.
Yeah, it caught me by surprise as well. Like, I was, talking about to my own podcast updates real quick about the whole theme of every update has been, what's the appropriate amount of stuff to bring on this 3-month journey that I'm on? And I spent a month of it in Baltimore in December. There's a good chance it will snow there. You know, there was a good chance it could have snowed the day I left Boston. So it was like, do I bring snow boots? And I'm like, no. And then I'm in New Orleans for an unprecedented snowstorm of the century. And I'm not walking around in 10 inches of snow with Chuck Taylors on.
Yeah, that's what all of us are also doing in our own. None of us have snow gear. We are improvising in the moment. We are doing our best, but having a great time. It's when snow never happens. It is remarkable.
Oh, snow can be a good, fun time. But then it also can be a total nightmare. That's one reason why we're doing this podcast remotely. We're literally half a mile away from each other, but neither of us wants to trudge through the snow to sit together to talk.
Yeah, it's tough out there right now.
Yeah. And so the last time we caught up with you on the podcast, it was 4 years ago. It was during the pandemic. And back then you had an improv comedy club. And we talked about, owning a comedy club or an improv comedy club during COVID and trying to get that. Real quick, can you catch the listeners up on what has happened over the past 4 years? Because you've opened a new club, you've done more sporting events, you've gone to Sturgis. So I just did the real quick update myself, but in your own words, give them a quick update of what has happened with the Creative Alliance and Chris True over the past 4 years.
For sure. Well, the improv theater that had been operating for almost 10 years, a little over 10 years, it closed down because of COVID, which was an easy thing to wrap our heads around because we knew coming down the pipeline was a new stand-up comedy club called Comedy House here in New Orleans. And that had never, we had never had a stand-up comedy club like that in the city before. So as soon as the pandemic was over, we pushed go on that, and that opened in 2021. But since then, since you've been here, Dennis, that had to close down because the building was sold, and it all happened very, very fast. But, I'm an onward and upward kind of guy. I love a good pivot. And so I'm in a good place about it. But we were operating a full-time stand-up comedy club here in New Orleans, which, like I said, there's never been a stand-up comedy club in the city before. So that was a lot of fun. Learned a lot. Really enjoyed it. I believe my days of operating a full-time venue are probably over, and I am personally focusing on just the biggest, best stuff that I've done the past couple of years. And I'm gonna see what happens when I focus on that. And so far, so good. I'm loving it. I'm happy.
All right. Well, you jumped ahead to talk about how the club closed, which is so unfortunate. Like, I'm literally two blocks from where the club was. When I was walking to the show on Monday night, I walked right past the club, and it's heartbreaking for me because I was only at that spot once for Hell Yes Fest in 2023, but there was something special going on there, and to have the rug pulled out from under you so quickly because the space you rented from was a nightclub, a spot in a nightclub or a section of a nightclub, and they decided they wanted to take that space over. Was there anything that led up to this moment where you're like, oh, this makes sense? Or was this a complete and total shock to you? And between you and your partner, Tammy, at the time, what was the game plan as soon as that happened?
Well, we knew that the place was in the process of being sold, but what we did not know is that the new people would not want to have us there. Because imagine, for the listeners, imagine a big nightclub, and imagine the nightclub saying, you know what, only half the nightclub is ever full, so we're going to do something else with the other half of this business. And so that's where we came in. This was not like, you know, it's not like we rented a room in a hotel and then the hotel sells and it's like, well, of course we're going to be gone. This was like a separate business we were renting from the nightclub, right? So when the nightclub was sold, we thought, okay, well, probably business as usual. You know, these new people probably also don't want to operate a giant nightclub in a market that can't really sustain it, as proven by the previous owners. That was not.
And you also have a built-in tenant, which is a stream of income.
That's the other thing. I mean, really what we were saying behind the scenes is like, it would be wild if they just said no to this stream of income. And they ended up saying no to it. It happened very quickly. After we found out that they said no, we thought that we would have more time. We thought that it would be, you know, we were hopeful for a year. We were thinking 6 months, but it was like a week. So it all happened very, very fast. It was right after Hell Yes Fest 2024. Like literally the day after the festival was over, we found all this out. So, you know, but again, like I said in the top of this podcast, you know, onward and upward, out of our control, and, you know, going to try and find other things to do. And I have so far, so it's all good.
You've operated quite a few spaces in your time. Do you think that experience with having other clubs in Austin, clubs here in New Orleans, you're constantly progressing your business of Hell Yes Creative. Do you think that helped prepare you and your partner for going, all right, well, roll with the punches? Or is that more of, you think, because of your flexibility as an improviser, you're just like, all right, here's the next step of it?
Yeah, I think it's all the above. You know, it's like in the improv thing, the thing I teach my students is like, there are no mistakes, there are only gifts. You know, so we have a choice. You know, like the event itself isn't bad. It's our perception of the event. So I definitely have that in my blood. And also, I think I'd be remiss if I didn't shout out that my comedy career kind of started with a you know, tragedy of sorts, because it didn't really get started until Hurricane Katrina. And it was like, that's the whole reason why we moved to Austin in the first place. And it was there that we stumbled into opening up a comedy theater. And so it's like the idea of something, and I'm using air quotes here for the listeners, something bad happening is like, well, we'll see. We'll see if this is bad, because what's going to happen next, I have no idea. I just know I have to have the right perspective and the right attitude and the right positivity to just move forward.
I love when people can think positively. I try to as well. Like right now, I was talking to a friend of mine from Boston Doctors who's also kind of on a similar trip as I am. Like, he was in New Orleans last week. I'm in New Orleans this week, and he saw my post about the snow. He went, if it had snowed in New Orleans when I was there, I would lose my mind. I'm like, I'm only staying sane on the fact that this is a historic event, and I'm trying to hold on to that to keep my own sanity. So I catastrophize. Like, I always try to be positive. I've tried to think forward and think of the positive things. But unfortunately, I have a broken, damaged, you know, PTSD, depression brain that tends to take things as in the negative, and I tend to catastrophize or even have the feelings of, you know, of course this would happen to me, et cetera, like that, because I'm mentally unwell and I'm working on that. So it's nice to hear somebody who is the opposite side of that and has a healthy mental attitude towards tragedies, instead of me going, all right, I was expecting something bad to happen. Of course it would. Oh, woe is me.
Well, it does take work. You know, I didn't come out of the womb this way, of course. It takes a lot of intentional work. So, you know, I'm rooting for you. I think you can do it.
Yeah. And then so What was the first pivot move? Because we did the show, the open mic from hell, which is so much fun, at the Toulouse Theater. Was Toulouse Theater already something you had in your back pocket, or was scramble, find a place to let us just put on some kind of show?
Well, I was very fortunate because, you know, I've been in this town doing stuff for a very long time. And because of Hell Yes Fest, it's, you know, I work with a ton of different venues. So when the news first came and it became public, I had a lot of venues reach out and say, how can I help? What shows do you want to move over here? So there are some things I did in the short term that I knew would be short term. That was like, you know, these shows are going to be here until further notice. The Toulouse Theater was the big fortunate thing, though. For the listeners, Toulouse Theater is one of the most prestigious venues in downtown New Orleans. It is an old single screen movie theater. It's been converted into a beautiful, like, it looks like an old school New Orleans performance space. And so them wanting my best show over there was very, very cool. And I was very grateful. And I'm putting all that I got behind it, because Open Mic from Hell is, I would say, it's the best show I've ever done. And I think it has the biggest, it has the most potential. And I've sort of reframed it, Dennis, in a way that's like, okay, I'm no longer programming a comedy club. I'm no longer responsible for making, you know, 40, 50 shows happen a month. But I can treat Open Mic from Hell like it's a comedy club in a box. So all my weird ideas, all my gimmick ideas, I'm smushing them all into this one show. And I'm making this show as big and badass and weird as possible.
And it's exactly that. And I kind of knew the premise of the show before, because I've seen it when I was here in town, but I didn't experience the whole show like I did on Monday. So, hey, thank you for letting me be a part of the show as I was passing through. And now, I don't know, I guess I live here now. We'll find out what the Marriott thinks of that. But it was so refreshing to see the show and then everybody wanting to willingly play along and be a part. It wasn't just like, all right, here's our gimmicks. Like the co-host bought in on being, you know, judges or whatever the co-hosts, the special guests part role of it. They had things ready. They were interactive. The other comedians were interactive. Like, everybody being a part of all the get. So basically what happens is you have 2 minutes and you're told to do comedy, but you have a certain,
you have a challenge.
Limitation. Challenge. Yeah. That you have to do during set. You have to do an impression of somebody. You have to eat a ghost pepper. You have to change your material to do this. I think one of the best ones that I love that showed how everybody's so willing to participate in the premise that is the show was the last performers. Three guys came out, each did a minute of their own stand-up, and then they also then had to do another minute of the stand-up that they just heard from one of the other comedians. And all I kept thinking of watching that and going, Boston comedians would never be down for this. They would never be like, they may participate in this, but then they're going to like shit on it the entire time they're talking. You know, you might get a couple of like new, completely, you know, fresh face open micers who are just excited to be on stage do it. And of course, they're not good because they don't know how to write, know how to be funny. So it's going to be limited. But you had experienced comedians who are willing to buy into this premise of whatever the premise was. And yeah, there was a couple of people who are newer to comedy doing it as well. But there was that's what I love, is seeing the experienced comedians like, I'm going to take this limitation. I'm going to do it. I'm going to yes and it, which is apropos, and do it. So what this is the thing that I saw earlier when I was here for Hell Yes Fest, was that there's a community of comedians that are willing to just be a part of, they're willing to say yes and. How did you, and I've been in other cities where they take themselves too seriously, and I've been in other county communities where they're not as willing to find the funny in everything that's going on. There's guys who are funny in these communities, but they're not willing to like participate community-wise in it. And so how do you think you fostered this New Orleans community to be such a willing to participate community of people who are funny and willing to share the stage and share these experiences with each other?
Yeah, that's really, really cool to hear from someone who has visited a few times, someone who does as much comedy as you. I I'm really, really proud of it. And I think it has a lot to do with the people in this scene who are the most active are all pretty playful and open-minded. And so when your leaders are that way, I think the people coming up see that, oh, the opportunities are when you have a certain type of, you know, way of a certain operating system inside of you, you know? So it's like, there's not a lot of total assholes here in New Orleans who are like gatekeeping, right? It's like, I'm sure there are some people who, I mean, not everyone likes everything and everyone, and that's just any scene, right? But I think that the calling card of the New Orleans comedy scene right now is that everyone at the top is playful, open-minded, and wants to help others. So when they see that there's a format show like Open Mic from Hell, they could think, oh, why bother with, like, you know, why do we have to have these gimmicks for these shows? Like, why can't we just do the real thing? And it's like, well, the thing that's going on in New Orleans is that we want to experiment. We want to be playful. We want to be New Orleans. And I think that those shows like this help your, you know, quote unquote, normal stand-up shows. You get better at doing regular stand-up comedy when you get up there and you experiment and explore during a show like the Open Mic from Hell. So it's, I'm rambling right now, but my point is, it's a community of people that really love the city, really love each other, and New Orleans, best case scenario, like New Orleans as a whole is just a playful, open-minded city that is built on improvising. You know, the city itself is made up. The city probably shouldn't be here. It's crazy that it still exists. But, and so we're kind of like, you know, it's that joie de vivre, that playfulness. It's a really beautiful thing. And I try to make this show reflect that as often as I can.
Awesome. All right, Chris, it was good seeing you and hanging out with you and doing the show together on the other night. Has been great having to sit here in a hotel room alone and not doing comedy and just wasting time to travel. But I've only been to New Orleans twice, and I've loved it both times. And it's probably because I'm sitting in Warehouse District area in the French Quarter, and it's a city. It's an urban environment. Everything's close and on top of each other. And that's what I love, being in an urban environment. So I've been falling in love with the city both times that I'm here. And maybe it might still be rose-colored, king cake-colored glasses. But I'm loving it. And if I ever had to move here, there wouldn't be a disappointment in my mind coming here. And it's part of the community of comedians that you and the rest of the people that I've met both times that I've been here have been fostering, and just the city in itself. So, hey, thank you again for letting me be a part of the show and being here. Thanks for coming on the podcast. Real quick, where can everybody catch up with you? If they want to check out shows or follow your training courses or even your blog posts about how to take improv into your daily lives.
Yeah, so I have an Improv for Everyone newsletter that goes out about once a week. That is, you know, it's like improv for stoicism, improv for public speaking, improv for parenting. I'm just a big believer in that art form being for everybody, and it is more accessible than ever. So I want people to check that out. Also, Open Mic from Hell. Check out the Open Mic from Hell Instagram or TikTok, whatever you want to do. We have really great, bizarre clips from the show. And I believe it's the wildest stand-up comedy show on the planet, and those clips reflect that.
It's especially been one of the wildest I've ever been a part of. So thanks a bunch, Chris.
Appreciate it.
So we're at our hotel in New Orleans, and the power went out. Yeah, so, I mean, you can't tell because the sun is out. It's nice and bright, but they are apparently, the power company is apparently doing a quick brownout for 2 or 3 hours and expected for the cold freeze tomorrow. So they don't want the power to go out tomorrow during the freeze. So they're turning the power off now. I didn't know turning the power off could be a, let's just turn it off at some point before it gets bad thing. Like, oh, it has to be turned off at some point. So let's turn it off now. I don't think that is how any of that works. honestly, I almost even slept through it. It's about 9 a.m. here in New Orleans. And the only reason we drove overnight from Orlando to New Orleans, no stopping in between other for gas, and pulled over a little bit for a nap at a Buc-ee's, which, well, I don't know how I walked out with this smell of smelling like a Buc-ee's barbecue sandwich, but apparently that penetrated my brand newly cleaned, it's not a brand new sweater, it's a newly cleaned sweater, because I stayed after the hotel, after checkout, and did my laundry with the first load of doing laundry since on the road. So, you know, it took almost 3 weeks. I got to almost the 3 week point before having to do laundry. So what's that? 18 days. So 2.5 weeks, two loads. We drove overnight. I didn't want to have to drive all the way from the 9 hour drive from Orlando to New Orleans. I wanted to stop off, you know, the plan was in Tallahassee or Pensacola or something, but better laid plans of mice. It's a thing I have to get used to, and I have to do more better proper planning. But the thing that I have to get used to that I'm learning is so many cities don't have things to do. Like, I'm from Baltimore. I grew up in Baltimore, D.C. I live in Boston, and I'm so used that you can just go out and do something every night of the week. There's always something to do. Not only is there just not, you know, there's comedy every night of the week. Not just that, but there you can go do things. And I'm going to these cities that I consider metropolitan areas, and there's just nothing to do. I learned that lesson in Gainesville, Florida, but apparently I'm still learning that because it's not a Florida thing. It's got to be other cities thing. Like when I talked about Charlton, South Carolina, there's 6 comedians there. That's it. And maybe 20 open micers, according to Wits End, you know, Josh at Wits End. There's more comedians at an open mic in Boston than who are doing comedy in Charlton, South Carolina. That's crazy to me, because Charlton, South Carolina, it's not a small town. It's a town. It's a city. You know, I mean, I guess it's bigger if you start pulling in people from the surrounding areas. And also, like, people have different ideas of what is their city and what is their not their city. But anyway. So yeah, we got in here. I did a little bit of video work, got set up, got organized, and went to sleep. And the only reason I even knew the power was out, I had to, I turned my phone off. I was listening to the 98 Rock Morning Show back in Baltimore. Shout out to my friend Justin Slago, who's actually off, and my other friend Joe Robinson, both from the DLP Agenda, is filling in for Justin. It's getting to the end of the show. I turn off the phone. I hear the toilet run. I get up to stop the toilet from running, which is, by the way, one of the things if I couldn't stop the toilet from running, that would have been the thing to complain about. And then I realized that none of the lights are coming on and the power is out. And I was like, well, we can get dressed and go out there and see if it's me. It's not just me. It's the whole thing. Like I said, they're turning the power coming, turn everybody's power off, which is, you know, hey, it's 20 degrees right now. It's 23 degrees when I pulled in here. I went over degree it is now, but it's pretty cold now, and they're expecting colder weather tomorrow and snow tomorrow here in New Orleans. So I'm telling you guys, this cold is following me. To all my friends in LA, which, by the way, I have a ton of friends in LA, and so as far as I know, they're all fine. Everyone that I know that I've talked to or I've seen updates from are they're okay. You know, some have been evacuated, and most of them are back in their houses. I don't know anybody personally that lost anything so far that I know of. And the Airbnb, I checked in with them. They're fine. But if I could send all this cold and the rain from Key West to you guys in LA to freeze up those flames, I would in a heartbeat. I would do it for you guys. It goes back to, there's only so much you can plan for. I'm on a 3-month trip. I'm through different climates. I could have very well have brought snow boots. Last year when I did the similar kind of trip, but I only stayed in Baltimore, I didn't bring snow boots because I'm like, I was expecting to be driving to LA and that didn't happen. So I stayed in Baltimore the whole time. And then I got snow in January and February. And I had to go trudging through the snow in my Chuck Taylor All-Stars So that's the only shoes I brought. And I thought about it again this year. Well, I'm only going to be there in December, and I made sure that I'm only going to be in Baltimore for December. But once I get on the road in January, I don't have to worry about snow. So far, the snow hasn't been anything bad yet. You know, we had some flurries in Greensboro and Charlotte. There's a freezing and some snow expected here for tomorrow. I'll probably be able to get by without needing snow boots, but it's like, thank God I still kept my warm coat with me and my thermals. I just packed them away. I mean, what else am I going to do with them? Mail them back to Boston is the only other option. So it's a good thing I have warm clothing with me. But by the way, I'm currently in shorts. I drove overnight from Orlando where it was 70 degrees yesterday. And I get here, I get out of the car. I'm like, oh, it's 23 degrees. Why? Or wind chill makes it feel like 23, whatever you want to call it. So I wanted to take advantage of this beautiful natural sunlight to update you guys. Sister's doing better with the car. By the way, she got her own bed. Sometimes when I get into the hotels, instead of having one king, they're like, is two queens okay? I'm like, I don't care. A bed's a bed. Who would complain about that? If you're by yourself and they give you two beds instead of one, who's complaining? Why would you complain about that? As long as they're not changing the price. In fact, what they should be doing is make it cheaper. But for the inconvenience, or throw some Marriott points at me. I'm wholly expecting to get some Marriott points out of this power outage. I mean, it's not their fault, but they should have known ahead of time. They should have warned people. I don't know. But I definitely would have just slept through it. Because I was also doing the Brad Sherwood tip. This is pre-podcast. I still had the podcast, but he wouldn't do it. I interviewed Brad Sherwood, who is from Whose Line Is It Anyway, for Dig Boston, to promote him and Colin Quinn's show at the Wilbur Theater, Schuber Theater. It must have been the Wilbur. And I asked him a bunch of questions. By the way, Brad Sherwood is, I'm going to drop names and tell tales, the worst interview I've ever given. Not in, I gave a bad interview in that he could not give two shits about talking to me at all. It's a good, if I have that audio still, I'll play it for you. Thank God it was a print interview because he did not sound at all enthused, interested, or gave one iota a shit about anything I had to interview him about. Like audible before answering questions. It's like, come on, dude, I'm doing this for you. Yeah, sorry, I'm having to talk to you because I did ask for Colin Mockery. So maybe I'm the one who should be disappointed, not you. But one of the questions I asked him was, you know, you're a road warrior. You've been doing for a while. What's a road tip that you have for people? And I did his tip. Can't deny it. Is that you use the hotel hanger, pants hanger with the clips to clip the curtain shut so you have total darkness. Yeah, good tip from a jerk dude. Yeah, but so I have my show here in New Orleans tonight at the NOLA House of Comedy. That is no longer in the NOLA House of Comedy. If you're a longtime listener, you'll know NOLA House of Comedy is where we did our live. So what do you really do? At Hell Yes Fest last year. Unfortunately, Chris and Amy lost their venue. Not through any fault of their own. The venue just didn't want them there anymore. They wanted to expand into their space. So they're mobile at some theater and some other venues around town. And I'll be doing the open mic from hell, which is a crazy comedy improv show where they give you prompts and you have to do crazy stupid things. It's going to be a fun time. I look forward to it. Chris and Amy are great people and they run a good show. Chris is a funny dude and I'm excited to do it tonight. And you know, we'll be heading to Texas tomorrow. But there's things I've had to learn on this tour. And some of the things I've learned is that comedy doesn't happen every day. And now I've also learned that I do hate the cold. I've put up with it for so much of my life. And now that I'm trying to escape it or assuming I'm going to be away from it and it's still following me, it follows the cold. It follows. We'll update you about the show later. We'll see how it goes tonight. I'm excited for it. Hopefully people will come out despite the cold. Hopefully someone in New Orleans has thermal underwear.
This man, out-of-town comic who happened to be here for the night that he's dropping into this show, he was a big part of Hell Yes Fest, a big comedy festival that happens here in New Orleans. He had a bunch of local comics on his podcast, and we love him for that. Y'all, please welcome to the stage all the way from Boston, Massachusetts, Dead Air Dennis!
No, it's my fault. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so we're out here losing our goddamn minds, and you're like...
I have all weather tires, so fuck you guys. I can go anywhere I want tomorrow. It's gonna be... If you need a ride, I'll Uber people around for King Cake if you need to.
Ooh, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. All right, Dennis, I have a special guest for you. We have a couple of special people on the show tonight. And, you know, we mentioned the news just a few moments ago. And so speaking of the news, I have a special guest that I'm going to call up here right now to join us on stage for just a little bit. Ladies and gentlemen, stand if you want to, but really it's your call. But please help me welcome to the stage our first special guest this evening, President Joe Biden! Joe Biden on the stage with us right now. So, first of all, Joe, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good.
Sir, do you know what day it is? Or the year?
It's good. Hey, good.
Sounds about right. Yes, okay, that's...
It's been a tough day. Been a bad day, been good. I just want to go home.
Okay. All right.
Well, somebody took your home, so
time.
All right. So,
but it's your fault.
So, Joe. So, I want you to have a special Joe Biden challenge for our out of town guest here, Dennis. What is the Joe Biden challenge going to be tonight?
You're Joe Biden, by the way. Just to let you make sure you know, sir.
Yeah.
Let him talk.
Goddamn. Oh, it's fine. It's just really. Wait, fucking put me on a spot here, Chris. I don't remember what you didn't say.
Yes. Do you want some help?
Hey, girlfriend, how are you?
Good to see. That's boyfriend.
Happens all the time.
Happy birthday, you two. Oh, you're all saying, my mommy started saying. She said, when you got a challenge, it's just Excelsior. You gotta go forward. You can't go backwards. You can't go forwards.
Okay.
So you gotta go forward. So I wanna say I wanna be motivated. I wanna be motivated by you. I wanna know what your plan is. What are your plans for the future?
So what if he did his set as a motivational speaker?
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Okay. Sound good?
What he said.
Yeah, okay. So thank you, Joe, for being here. Hang out with us for a few if you don't mind. Dennis, you good to go?
Yeah.
Doing his set as a motivational speaker as inspired by Joe Biden. Y'all make some noise for Dead Air Dennis.
Now let me ask you people right now. Make some noise if you're like me. And you have sleep apnea! For those who don't know, who are not part of the club of sleep apnea, if you don't know what that is, it is when your body seeks revenge on you for eating a cheeseburger. My soul is dragging you in the sleep! I cured my sleep apnea, though. The way I cured my sleep apnea is the same way all of you can cure your sleep apnea. Make some noise if you want to cure your sleep apnea. Woo! All you got to do is lose 80 pounds.
and then gain back 20 of those pounds. See, you don't want to just cure sleep apnea. You just want to put it on pause. That's part of my program called Put Apnea on Pause. Now, here's the thing. I did lose enough weight to no longer have sleep apnea. And the side effect of that was I no longer snore when I fall asleep at my desk at work. Woo! That's right. I've also been fired from that job for falling asleep at my desk, but that's okay. Don't be sad for me, because I am now a full-time comedian. Woo! I'm currently on a sponsored 3-month comedy tour sponsored by the Massachusetts State Unemployment! So I have diabetes. Which makes sense, because diabetes does run in my family. And diabetes is the only thing that runs in my family. I'm Dennis, I thank you.
Give it up for Dan and Dennis! Dennis, before you go, I'll give you one opportunity to engage with the president. Is there anything that you wanted to ask this man?
I did. How happy are you to no longer have to take the train from Delaware to Washington, D.C. anymore? Senor, Mr. Former President. I'm very well versed on Joe Biden's ability to travel to work. I'm sorry. Okay. I got too real with that.
You got to give him time to respond.
He had 4 years to respond.
I went to sleep. I woke up. I said, I'm here. It's not better being here. It's not better being at Comedy House, New Orleans, with Chris Drew and girlfriend.
No, we're...
I'll tell you something. I'm gonna sit back down. Sorry.
We had to close Comedy House. This is a different place.
Sorry. Toulouse Theater. Sorry. Scared.
All right. What's your score for Dennis?
What's our scale?
Six.
I want to do pi. The number.
Pi is how
the
I got number. Diabetes.
The number, not the food.
All right, y'all give it up for Dennis. I don't hear it. Thank you, Dennis.
Appreciate you. Thank you, Davey. Thank you.
All right.
So after the power outage for the upcoming cold, it got cold. So I'm spending at least one extra day here in New Orleans that I wasn't expecting to. I was expecting to drive to Houston today, but when I woke up, I saw that there were road closures and highway closures and bridge closures, and that there was no way of getting out of the city. And the only way out and to get to Houston, which was also, by the way, having a snowstorm. Apparently that started last night. The only way I would get there would have taken 12 hours to drive, because I would have to go on east and up north and then back west and then down south. I thought about going to Shreveport, because that's kind of in between here in Dallas, where I need to be there by tomorrow now, Wednesday, for a gig, which has also not been quite confirmed yet. So it may be better to cancel that and stay here another day, because leaving this morning would have been probably safer than leaving tomorrow now at this point, because, here in Louisiana, this is the first snowstorm since 1963, when they got 2.7 inches, which is the most amount of snow they've ever gotten. I like how earlier today, Sister was running around playing and frolicking in the snow, and right now she's just sitting next to me looking sad and cold, even though she has 2 layers of coats and is constantly always warm. You want to go play? You want to go play? Won't you go play? Go play. Go frolic. You can go roll around the snow all you want. Go roll around. Because tomorrow what's going to happen is all of this thick snow is just going to freeze. And here's the thing. They don't have snow plows. They don't have salt. They don't have shovels here. So none of the snow is being removed ahead of time. So which means all 7 or plus inches of this is going to become thick ice tomorrow. So I may be staying here a whole other day, which is the worst part, is staying here when there's nothing to do. Nothing's open, which rightfully so. Nothing should be open. People shouldn't have to work. But also, like, when you live in Boston and snow happens like this, even in Maryland, when you live in Maryland and snow happens like this, most of life still continues on for at least a little bit. Not in New Orleans, understandably. So, my friend Alan, also known as Dr. Ben Everywhere at Boston Doctors, he's currently on pretty much almost the same path trip that I am. Like, we're just a couple days, week apart away from each other everywhere we go. And one of the things, he saw my post about snow, and he was like, he was just here last week, and was, if it snowed in New Orleans last week when I was here, I would have lost my mind. I'm like, the only thing that's keeping me sane is the thought of I am literally experiencing a historic moment for Louisiana right now. This is more snow than they ever gotten ever. Which also makes me think that it's my fault. This cold and snow is following me everywhere I go. I've seen snow in July in New Mexico. I've seen snow in Dallas, Texas. I've seen snow in Los Angeles back in 2023 when I went there for comedy. I saw snow in North Carolina a couple weeks ago. And now there's snow in Louisiana. I am Elsa from Frozen. And I just have to learn how to unlock my snow powers. Let's go on, baby. It's weird being in a city that can't defend themselves against snow. I think they shouldn't have to. They shouldn't have this stuff sitting in reserve just in case. Like I said, 1962? Was that 1963? They haven't gotten snow like this in never, ever. But also, they haven't had snow in like 60 years. It's 60 years. So it's understandable. My hot tea is cold now. But last night was a great show. We did Open Mic from Hell. It's a show that the NOLA House of Comedy, NOLA House of Comedy does. Chris True is one of the two owners, him and Tammy. They had a great theater that I was here for a long time. Listeners and fans of the podcast, you will know that it was the first live episode that we did 2 years ago from Hell Yes Fest that was at the NOLA House of Comedy. Unfortunately, they lost their venue. And they're on the road. They're moving things around. So they were at the Toulouse Theater now on Mondays doing Open Mic from Hell. And man, I knew what the show was, and I've seen parts of it, you know, hanging around and stuff, and it totally exceeded my expectations. It was so much fun. Audience was great. The other comedians were great. And this is the thing. So basically the premise of the show is there's a panel of judges. They don't really judge anything, but it's, you know, Chris and Ben and then two guests that basically divvy out challenges for the comedians to do while doing your set. So one of the previous challenges that they used to do that they don't do anymore is you would have to take a bite of a ghost pepper and then do your set. Other challenges of which are so fun and creative. Do it as an impersonation of something else. Do it timed in different time frames and speeds and stuff like that. And it's, you know, one of the people last night had to dirty their setup, so they had to be dirtier than they normally do. So they had to curse and make references, and everyone was in for the fun. No one rolled their eyes. Everyone was participating and willing, and it was so refreshing because I look at, like, one of the last performances was three comedians. Each of them did 1 minute, and then they had to go back up and do another minute of one of the other comedians' set that they just saw. And it was so much. It was so much fun watching these guys just yes-anding each other. And that shows what Chris and Tammy had created here in New Orleans and also in Austin when I originally met them at New Movement Theater. They created a really great, fun, very alternative comedy scene of people that are just willing to yes-and. And I hate to really use that term because it's so synonymous with improv and it's gotten such a bad connotation, but it's basically the way of saying, I'm buying into this reality and I'm furthering it more. And, you know, I just kept thinking, it's like, Boston would never go for this. The comedians in Boston, you'd probably get good new, a bunch of open micers just starting to do comedy who don't know how to be funny, who don't know how to even write a regular set, let alone be funny on the spot, would probably be down for it. But that's the problem with the show, is like all these comedians on the show were experienced comedians, willing to dive in and get a little bit goofy, a little bit silly, not take themselves so seriously while doing their comedy. I was thinking about how many Boston comedians like, no, thank you. you know, experienced ones would not want to get involved with that. And it's sad because it was such a fun thing. The audience had fun. Comedians had fun. It was really good. You know, I really feel bad for Chris and Tammy for losing their venue and now having to try and scramble. But, you know, Chris is a trained improviser. He's an improvised trainer. He teaches corporate improv. He teaches improv to anyone who's willing. You know, he's a stand-up comedian himself. And so I'm sure he's completely used to having to adapt to situations. But just like New Orleans is going to have to adapt to the snow. I am a little agitated by people asking if it's Sister's first snowfall. I'm like, we live in Boston. Her first snowfall was probably 4 years ago when it was Halloween. Remember that? When it snowed on Halloween? And then a week later it was 70 degrees. Yeah, we're adapted to snow. And this brings up the exact scenario. One of the things that I was talking about earlier when prepping for this tour is, you know, I was going to be in Maryland for December. There's a chance that there was going to be snow in Maryland. Do I bring snow boots? No, I didn't bring snow boots. Of course, why would I? This is why. But again, you can't over-prepare. I mean, you can prepare too much stuff, but it's like, at some point, it just seems unfeasible to bring everything just in case. So I brought, this is the compromise. This is wearing my Dr. Scholl's hard-soled, you know, dress-like shoes that I used to use when I used to do AV tech at a hotel, because they were mandated to have these kind of, you know, polishable shoes. So, you know, they're kind of waterproof-ish, they're hard-soled-ish, they're, you know, they're not, you know, steel toes. They're not, you know, they don't have a steel shank or anything like that, but they're not Chuck Taylors. So I brought those in expectation of something like this. So there's the compromise, I guess, you know. And a lot of places didn't open in expectation of this coming snowstorm. So it's like, I'm here for an extra day. Luckily, I brought a ton of food with me. I have some canned soups that I can eat. I got tons of jerky. I bought tons of jerky because it's, you know, low carb and easy to eat and snack and fulfilling. I have some Magic Spoon breakfast cereals and cereal bars. So I have food and supplies, but nothing's open. If I wanted to get food, the only place that was open was Roof's Chris Steakhouse, which is such a difficult name to say. But it's the closest place and the only thing that was open because it's in a hotel around the corner. Of course, the fancy place is going to make all the people come to work and have to serve all the other fancy people that afford to eat there. So we're going to leave tomorrow. We're in New Orleans. We stayed. We got here 6 a.m. on Monday, Sister and I, my dog, whose name's Sister. And we are going to leave 11 a.m. on Thursday when we check out of this hotel, partly because they're booked from Thursday on, so I can't buy another room if I wanted to. But more importantly is I got to get to L.A. It's supposed to be, my Airbnb starts on Sunday. It's Wednesday night. So we got to get rolling. I missed my show in Dallas because I had to stay here. I mean, this snow really ruined a couple things. And I smartly, I didn't want to take the chance getting on the road. I feel like I know I can handle myself, but the car's not designed. It's not an all-wheel drive vehicle. Yeah, it's a Kia Soul. It's an SUV. It's a big hatchback. But again, I'm out on the road. I'm not from home. I'm not at home. I'm not working. Something tragic happens. I'm stuck. So I can't take the risk. But I'm taking the risk tomorrow. Hopefully, the problem, I mean, it would be one thing if they plowed the street and salted the streets. They weren't. They did today, finally. I saw some salt out. But some of the streets still aren't plowed. So getting to hopefully when I get to the highways will be clear. I overheard something that, you know, plow trucks from Indiana came down and started plowing things. But in the warehouse district and the French Quarter, doesn't really look like it's plowed. It's mostly just compacted down. Doesn't look like a lot of it's been salted. So hopefully the highways are and I can get out of here and the roads will be open. Otherwise, you know, I'm just now going to be taking a long drive to LA. I think it's 2,000 miles. I have 2,200 miles. And I got to do it. Just get in the car and drive. I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to drive more than 8 hours in a day. I didn't want to drive 8 hours. But I got to get moving. I mean, if I'm late to LA, if I'm I don't get to my Airbnb on the first day. Who cares? But I want to get there. That's what this trip's for, to get there. So let's get there. This hotel was weird, by the way. Like, I don't know if I would have stayed at this hotel if I knew all the things that I know now. First off, they don't offer hot breakfast. That's one of the reasons why I go to Marriott's, is they always have a hot breakfast. I would settle for a place that had a continental breakfast, which is not hot breakfast. But they didn't have any breakfast at all. They're in the middle of construction in the front corner. They were not prepared for snow. There was a power outage. Again, that's not the hotel's fault. Staff, I've asked for things and they're very, I don't know. I was like, all right, well, maybe you can go find an answer to that. Like, every time I went down to get tea, they were out of hot water, and somebody, seemingly everybody, I don't know where we get the hot water for this. Well, who set this up? You work here. Doesn't this get set up every day? Don't you offer free hot water, tea, and coffee to your guests every day? Is it somebody from housekeeping? Then ask the housekeeping person. Or go to your staff room and just put hot water in this for me so I can have my tea. It's 17 degrees outside. They had hot chocolate there all day. Tonight, I wanted a nice little hot chocolate to finish my night. They sell milk in their little corner market thing. I just want to buy a thing of milk, heat it up in a microwave, and have a hot chocolate with milk. The hot chocolate packets are gone. Hey, do you know what happened to them? No. Did they disappear? Are you out of them? I don't know. Whatever. It's been interesting watching people who've never dealt with snow and cold before. It's weird. Like, you go in the hall, like, this building is definitely not built and designed to be in the cold, because, like, the hallway is frigid. There is no insulation whatsoever in that hallway. You go out in the hallway and it might as well be outside. Even the heat, I have the heat on 75. It's not 75 in here, which also means I got to wrap this up because I have to turn the heat off while we do this video. So it's getting colder here quick. So we're going to wrap this up now. We're leaving Orlando, or we're leaving New Orleans in the morning. And we are going to go start driving west as far and as fast as we can. We'll stop when we need to and keep going. And hopefully I can pick up a couple of shows between now and there. I'm supposed to have one in Tucson, but the guy I was in contact with hasn't replied back in a while. So I don't know if I still have that. We'll find out.